Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf. It is just me today, and I want to start off by saying how awesome yesterday was. It was the first workshop for Miss Wolf's art class, the event I started, and it was incredible because I haven't officially taught art since I left the public school system in that capacity. So first of all, it was really cool getting to be back in that role and in that space. It was definitely very small. I only had two people purchase tickets and only Duwash. She was the only one who showed up, and I asked her permission to share her name. She is fucking incredible. She's been listening to the podcast for a long, long time, and it was an honor to get to meet her and watch her create this incredible painting. And she really poured her heart and soul into it, and I think it looks incredible. You can check out on my Instagram, the first picture is a picture of Shane holding Jada and painting. He was my other student. It was just the two of them that ended up coming. And you know, at first, and I knew that there was going to be a good chance of it being really small, so I wasn't really shocked or anything. But your ego always feels like, oh my gosh, how come not a lot of people came? And I just kind of rode those waves. And I was just so appreciative that Dua had come and that Shane was participating. And both of them created such beautiful paintings. Shane has not finished his. He said he might finish his today or sometime this week. So yeah, it was just a really cool experience. I'm going to be offering the next one February 16th. I'll be putting up an Eventbrite in the next couple of days or so. So anyone, like I said, it's in Island, New Jersey, but it's perfect for anyone from Pennsylvania, Jersey, New York. It's, you know, even a 2-3 hour drive you could do. It's pretty much an all day workshop. So it's 10 to 3. We took an hour for lunch, and, yeah, I'm really looking forward to continuing to teach these. And I focused on painting and drawing, but honestly, I want to do this like once a month for a long, long time. And I would love to do multimedia or even have some like music sessions where everyone goes and creates, writes lyrics. And so I see this growing in different ways, but it was really cool. And to open my house, and meet someone who, we've been connected to each other, even though I didn't know, you know, she knew, she'd been listening, and I just really appreciate her and think she's amazing. So I'm very grateful she came. Okay. So that was cool. I also, a week ago had comedy seance. The first comedy seance happened with Jess and Allison, and, Allison Charles and Jess Grippo for their full names. And it was amazing to get to share the stage with these two goddesses, really, these incredibly talented, smart, beautiful, tuned in women who both have so much wisdom. It was awesome getting to share a stage with them. And because we host it together, but then we do our own individual acts and we bring up other acts. And we had Mike Cannon. He opened it. He was hilarious as always. We had Lil Young Big, who freaking killed it. He did this freestyle based on what people were going through in the audience, and it was incredible. And then we had Matt Richards close, who like always is hilarious. And it was remarkable getting to see Jess dance and, you know, her comedy in there. And then Allison did these live channelings on stage, and I got to go up there. She channeled for me, and what came through, and I always know Allison's the real deal. Like there's no doubt in my mind about her abilities. So I shouldn't be surprised this came through, but this blue fairy came through, and she's been speaking to me a lot in my mural that I painted, in my other place in Westfield. The fairy in it had blue hair. And I just, as you, a lot of you know, I just dyed my hair blue, and I actually chopped it even shorter. It looks kind of like, it honestly looks like the blue fairy, now I forget her name, from Fern Gully. So I just, when she came through, I was like, oh yeah, that's who's been coming through for me a lot. And yeah, so Allison was amazing. So we are going to be doing another one in April. So those of you who missed the first one and want to make it, we'll be announcing a date soon. but it will be in April for sure. So what an awesome experience. Both of those things are really cool. And then I'm just trying to fill you guys in on, okay, so let's get to some news stuff. For those of you who don't know or do know, Syntoia Brown has a new release date of August. So it still stinks that she's in prison serving time, but she will not be serving life. Well, she didn't have complete life, but she was going to serve till like she was in her 50s or something. And now she's getting out in August. So it's really nice to know justice can and will continue to prevail. And like I said last time, we have a remarkable record-setting amount of women now in the House of Representatives, and things are just going to be changing. We just have to stay positive and keep evolving and seeing our role in all of this and trying to stay as non-dual as possible. It's definitely a very triggering period. It's easy to fall into blame, but everything is really your mirror, you know, and it's about seeing whatever really triggers you the most. It's like, that's the spot you want to enter. Like, okay, this is really making me upset. And it'll take you somewhere else when you really let it flow through you instead of jumping into blame. And like I've said many times in the past, I had to jump to blame. The shame was so unbearable of my quote unquote sins or my dark places that I had been blind to, including places of narcissism. Like I said, there was a very strict judge, I'll say Nega Gavora wound that I had. And Gavora from, because I study in a Society of Souls, the Tree of Life, the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, and Gavora represents, I don't want to go any more into it, but I was so strict and overly boundaried with myself that I really took that out on others. And it was hard to see what a bitch I could be. You know, it's like obvious, but when you see it in yourself for real, you crumble, you know? So I don't know, this path is really amazing and it works, you know? And I'm not just saying just Kabbalah. It's just the journey of going within and believing in yourself and knowing that things can change and things can be filled with light for real when you just open to that. So I am just so grateful to see things like Syntoia Brown being served positive justice. I think it's just so beautiful and it's filled with hope, that moment. It's like, okay, we are turning things around. It's shifting slowly but surely. And remember, we're all in this together. So that was really good to see. There's an actor, I'm probably going to say his name wrong, Rami Malek. He just won for Bohemian Rhapsody. It was a Golden Globe, I believe. And I was like, where have I seen this dude? And I was like, oh my God, that's Benjamin from Twilight. And it just shows you like how much I love Twilight. Like, I'm so happy for him winning, but I was like, oh, that's Benjamin from Twilight. Like, okay. You know, it's, yeah. Anyway, so I'm a big fan of his and congrats to him for winning. I always thought he was talented. And Lady Gaga and Mark Ronson won for Shallow at the Golden Globes, which that song is freaking amazing. I can't listen to it too much because it makes me sad. I mean, if you haven't seen A Star is Born, you need to go see it, but the ending is intense and has actually, I think I still have post-traumatic stress from that ending. Like, I'm not even lying. That shit fucked me up. But Shallow won, and I was very happy because, as you all know, I've already said what I think about Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga, twin flames. So it doesn't surprise me that they together brought out that kind of emotion in that song. Like I said, I can't even listen to it. It like breaks me. I wrote down, I want to talk about homework. I think homework stuff's going to be shifting too. As parents start to speak up and as we just all, parents or not parents, start to speak up what's really going on in our struggles and our family's struggles, things can actually start to change. I think people are starting to finally become more vocal about the stress that comes with giving their children homework. And I only have one kid. I can't imagine having multiple kids coming home with homework. And, you know, it's because, you know, it's not just the kids doing it, obviously. So like I said, I can't imagine with multiples, but I think we really need to decrease the amount and have honest conversations about what our kids are really going through. And I'm lucky enough to have a really solid relationship with my son. And I know that these kids are going through more than they let on. And they, a lot of people are in pain, adults and children. And I think homework adds to this anxiety and the stress. And remember, kids are going to school and they're getting bullied. They're feeling insecure. We all are, right? But these are kids. And when you then pile on top of that, now the homework, they can't just go home and process the day. It's like this intense overwhelm happens for them. And a lot of them don't know how to take out positively or express their emotions. And I even offered to my son's school, to the guidance counselor and the principal, I offered to start an emotional support club there. Honestly, I would love once a week to offer a club and just have kids be able to go there. We can create art, we can talk, we can write, you know, the things can change, but I would love for them to have a place where they know they can go. So right now, I don't know if they're open to it, but I would 100% do that if they wanted me to. It would be a delight for me, actually. And also to be the proud bragging mom, my son's winter concert was this week, and he did not tell me he had a short solo. He literally sang like 3 or 4 words, but it was incredible. Like, he to me has this incredible voice. I can't, it was just so good to hear him sing in front of everyone and show that part of him. His principal came up to me after and she was like, "Oh my gosh, I had no idea Shane could sing like that." So I'm hoping, you know, in this coming year, he starts to utilize that gift more. And I don't know, it was really cool. He's in Gifted and Talented Choir and Select Choir. And the Select Choir, oh my gosh, I don't want to say the dude's name, but his choir teacher is remarkable. He put on like a real show. The kids had a choreographed dance. Shane didn't even tell me. So he's like up there dancing and singing, and it was incredible. Like, I just was blown away. So talk about having faith and things changing. Like, I got to sit there and I was like, oh my God, because I still suffer, you know, I've talked about my anxiety and my depression. So that is obviously like, that doesn't just go away. But to be able to sit and watch my son at this concert, and even in the Select Choir, I think it was like a group of 8 or 10 boys singing Lean On Me. Oh my gosh. Oh, that's the song he had the solo in. I just almost died. It was like, I filmed him singing the solo part and I like almost dropped the phone at the end. It was a lot. My heart was like exploding. Okay. Oh, so last week I talked about with Asia, the whole Ellen trying to get Kevin Hart back on the Oscars. And then some people are now going after Ellen for standing up for Hart. It's just like, can we just stop? Ellen clearly has a good heart and is clearly not homophobic, right? And Kevin Hart, once again, already apologized for past tweets, whatever, whatever. So it's like, stop. Like, people are just wanting to attack. Like, I truly don't believe Ellen or Kevin Hart is homophobic. Maybe Kevin was 10 years ago. Maybe he was more ignorant to it. Who knows what happened? It doesn't matter. He's clearly evolved and changed and apologized. So it's like, we're not going after Ellen. Stop going after Kevin. Deal with your own stuff on the inside. Trust me. Like, I know, look, we still have to fight for injustices. Like, obviously the Santoya Brown thing, like, we have to put our energy where it counts. There's this whole wall thing going on. That's crazy. You know, so I'm not saying don't speak up, but I don't think going after Kevin Hart or Ellen DeGeneres right now is the war. Okay, so I just had to say that, but I'm sure most of you agree with me anyway. But like, I just was like, what we're going after? Oh, and then I'm very, very, very much for animal rights. I think I've been talking about this for a long time, but I just need to say, because I used to be in a very tight group of like vegan activists in New York City, and I met wonderful, amazing people in doing those groups. But I also encountered a strictness that really puts a lot of people off, because there are a ton of people who eat meat out there. And you know, you can't just expect people to like go vegan in a day. Like, maybe they do, but like, to me, the approach to animal rights is not shoving it down someone's throat or like, you know, because I've been saying, look, if you're still going to eat meat, you know, try to get it from a place where you know where the meat comes from and where it's more ethical. And I see everyone posting organic farms are still awful. I'm sure. most slaughterhouses are fucking terrible. I'm saying to those who care but can't, but for whatever reason can't give up eating meat, to try your best to get it from a place where you know what I mean? I still don't like it. Obviously, I don't eat meat, but like I've seen some vegans on my page. I think sometimes animal rights people get mad at that I'm not as strict, that I'm not saying to everyone, give up meat. It's like, this has to be your journey and it has to come from an authentic place. It can't come from an external judgment on you. You know, that's with everything. And I'm not saying that eating meat is always quote unquote wrong. There are obviously certain situations, like you're stuck on an island or whatever kind of survival things. The Native Americans obviously had to kill animals in a very in tune ethical way, but where they use the whole animal. So like that, you know what I mean? That's a different relationship to it. So I'm just telling people, look, the slaughterhouse shit in my eyes is horrific. It's a nightmare. You know, if you don't care, you don't care. Fine, do your thing. But if you do, I'm just saying there are ways to get meat, not necessarily quote unquote organic, because that still sounds like they're being treated horrifically, but at least do your research, I think. And like I said, if you don't care, then don't. You know what I mean? Like the stuff I say, it always surprises me. I don't understand if someone listening and being like, fuck this bitch, da 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 da, like turn it off, you know? Like, these are my opinions and my thoughts. And I will always have guests on. I really do enjoy doing them on my own as well. It's a different way for me to really say what's going on for me. But I will have a guest on for next week. And whatever. I just don't understand people who like listen to things. There's a woman that I really can't stand. I just couldn't watch her. I think it's like, what's her name? Tommy Lauren or something. It's like that blonde, really strict conservative chick that's always yelling. I can't with her. So fine. But I just don't watch it. Like I don't start fights with her. And maybe she'll just say that I just did. But like, I'm just saying that's not my taste. I am sure I am not her taste. I am sure, you know, so we can both just go our separate ways. There doesn't have to be an attacking. Now, if I got attacked by someone like her, I would have to write a rap song about her, obviously. But you get what I'm saying. Make art, not war. Thank you. Okay. Oh my God, I wrote about horses. I'm really against horse carriage rides in New York City. I think it's honestly horrific. I can feel the horses' pain when I see them. The way that they get treated afterwards, just going to slaughter, it's really a nightmare. There are a couple of organizations, including Mercy for Animals, but there's a woman, Edita, E-D-I-T-A, who has done so much incredible work trying to protect the horses of New York City. So search that whole organization. I believe that's what it is. If not, I'll get the right name. But it's time we just start treating animals better, not just our pets, you know, but the whole ecosystem in general. Just a lot more awareness is needed. Which brings me to one of my new favorite movies I just saw, Annihilation. It just got, I think it's like new on Amazon Prime. It's being offered there. And I just watched it one night and oh my God, it's incredible. It's so intense from the beginning. I love Natalie Portman's character. I don't want to give away too much, but they call it a shimmering. There's like this big shimmering shield that takes place. It's like formed, they're like a meteor thing hits this lighthouse, and then this thing, this like dome like shimmering, surrounds a lot, like I think miles and miles of this area, and it keeps growing. So Natalie Portman's character decides to enter it with a group of women who decide to enter for their own reasons, because as far as they know, and there's more layers to this, no one has come out of it alive. So they decide to enter it, and oh my God, it's so good. And I always have different kinds of interpretations of these things, but to me, the shimmering did represent, in a sense, the shift that we're all going through. And this is going to sound really harsh, but not everyone's going to make it. I think those really steeped in their shame, self-hate and hatred towards others. Like, I think people who just really don't want to grow and just stay steeped in their hate, they're really not going to make it. And I'm not saying all the characters that didn't make it were in that way, but they didn't make it for whatever reasons. But I'm giving away too much already. I'm the worst at these things. Just go watch it. It's incredible. And like I said, I think that and Bird Box, a lot of these things are representing meeting your shadow side in a sense, or seeing your own monster within. And I think because many of us have abused our place on the food chain here on Earth, we even have so much guilt about that, about how we've abused our power. And I think there's always, quote unquote, salvation. And I think that's compassion and self-forgiveness as you see those places. This journey isn't about punishing or hating yourself. It's about growing and evolving. And the movie is called Annihilation. And I was thinking about that word, the positive and the negative to that word. And to me, the positive of annihilation is spiritual regeneration, or spiritual rebirth. But regeneration has this feel to it that's very organic and has like the kind of bio quality to it. So it's like, okay, regeneration. Even when you're crushed or when you feel awful or whether you feel someone else did this to you or you did this to them, there's always a chance for salvation and regeneration to grow and change and love yourself more and more despite your imperfections, despite your flaws. And for me, that's what the movie kind of, I got out of that. Now it's very like action packed and, you know, it's incredible. But to me, like I said, it also really represents the food chain and what happens when things kind of get mixed up and you're tossed back into the wild, you know, because when you're tossed back into the wild, you see the places in yourself that many of us have disconnected to. But it's why we love a lot of survival shows and movies about survival, because it's, we put ourselves in those shoes. Would I make it? What would my character be like in there? So I just found the movie fascinating. And like I said, the whole concept of annihilation or destruction, which has such a negative feel to it, even though it doesn't really for me, it's two sides of one coin. So annihilation is also regeneration or rebirth. Destruction is about also regeneration as well and rebuilding, so new things can come out. To be alive, to have life, you also have to have death. That's a paradox, right? But in order for that cycle to keep moving, things must die. So dying, and it's interesting because Natalie Portman's character, she's a bio professor, and she's teaching the kids about like cancer cells and how cells divide. And so the movie makes all this connection to, you know, quote unquote, we'll put cancer in the annihilation part. But like I said, often we go through these things, so new things, even in our bodies, our cells, can be created that are much more in alignment with our truest self and truest health. So I like I said, the movie really touched me. And I think it's important as human beings, and we're all flawed, that yes, we all have these negative forces within us. It's biology. It's look at a magnet, negative and positive. We judge, right? So we have a full vibration to our quote unquote soul song. We have the positive notes, we have the lower notes, right? Soprano and alto, we have all the notes in between. And yet in this conformist society that we are breaking the chains off of, we're like, oh, I need to suppress this note in my song or people will think I'm a bitch or I'm crazy or I'm this. And we're learning to just be like, yo, this is my fucking song. You know, like, this is me. And if you don't like me, it's all good. Like, we can go in separate directions. But I think that's where we're growing to. And things that are being annihilated are those old ways of competing and hating something that's different from you. And that stuff is just dying out. And as scary as annihilation can feel, it only leaves behind, in a sense, truth. And it, like, what can regrow is what's meant to be there, I believe. I know it's way more complicated than that. But I think we're going through a big period collectively of regeneration. And like I said, the Santoya Brown case of her getting justice served, felt like this thing. Like something had to even be annihilated in our collective's mindset of like, this woman's a victim. You know what I mean? Like they were punishing this woman for killing a man who literally was keeping her as a sex slave. And she was a minor. Like it boggled many of our brains. And I think as we spoke up more and more and caused a riot about things like this, we're like, oh, wow, we actually do have a say. Things can actually turn around. So that was a big moment of hope and just proof in my eyes of let's just keep going. Things are going to keep getting better and better. We can really create this collective new earth of us thriving with each other. And like I said, a lot of, you know, I had my awakening and within that awakening, I met someone who introduced me to the Thrive Movement documentary. And it really not just deepened my awakening, but just the word thrive. And they just keep talking about going from surviving to thriving. And that's where we're at. And it's just, I feel, not everyone agrees there, but that's what it feels like. And I'm very excited to be on Earth at this time to see us kind of breaking these chains that and these cycles that so many of us were stuck in. And I really hope that we see these changes in places like Israel and Palestine, because they have been steeped in this cycle of hatred, right? Bombing each other. And you don't even know whose fault it is at this point, because both sides are just continuing to hurt, you know? I can't wait to find hopefully resolution somehow for countries that many of us in the U.S., I don't want to say have forgotten about, but kind of, you know, we want the whole world to thrive. We feel everyone's pain. So I'm looking forward to these things shifting and moving. And there was a quote in the movie, and I just want to say it, where I believe it was Natalie Portman's character said, "It wasn't destroying, it was building something new." And I was like, oh, how beautiful. Once again, it's that perspective change, because we all have a destroyer within. We all have a place that can self-sabotage. And I'm somewhat studying this topic right now, actually, which is deepening this for my A Society of Souls class, which is incredible. I mean, always. They're always, I don't want to go too much into it, but this also goes right along with shadow work. And I've been always fascinated with shadow work. Teal Swan talks a lot about entering the shadow. Not people. She's another spiritual. She calls herself the spiritual catalyst. I followed her for a bit, but she's a controversial person in the spiritual community. She gets a lot of hate, which is interesting. But I have learned a lot from her. So anyone, I've talked about her for a bit, but you can always look at her stuff. I also love on YouTube Bashar. He's like an alien channel. He's a man human who channels like his higher self, not even higher self, but like a multi-dimensional parallel universe self as an alien. I love the stuff that comes through for him. A lot of people love Abraham Hicks. An old friend introduced me to her years ago. I think right on the cusp of my awakening, but Abraham Hicks, who's channeled by Esther Hicks, or it's just Abraham. Well, whatever. You should check her stuff out too. It's, yeah. So there's a lot of information on things like that, and a lot of people who've helped guide me, including, like I said, the guru Neem Karoli Baba, who had abilities to go beyond the matrix, we'll say, years ago, and was just a peaceful man who was so deeply human while also being so enlightened. So there are many characters for us to kind of, you don't want to like put them above you, but it's okay to have people that you look up to. I went to, I posted it for a second. There was a room I walked into, like a friend, I went to a friend's house and her daughter had a Bieber shrine, essentially, like all of her walls were in Bieber. And I just like loved it. There was something so innocent and sweet because it was from when her daughter was like going through middle and high school. And I had to take pictures of it. It was one of the most beautiful things I'd seen. I was like, this is a real ass Bieber room. Like, but it's okay. Like a lot of us, those are the things that get us through, you know, whether it's a tough childhood or whatever. Like I love, everyone knows this, I'm a big fan of Kristen Stewart, of Rihanna. I love Ruby Rose. And I have to say, I cut my hair again shorter. I cut it to like a blue bob, but now it's more of like I've been kind of posting Instagram stories with you, so you can see my new hair. So you can go there if you want to see them. But I look up to them, and I kind of did a This is my first time going this short, and it's very like I said, blue pixie fairy, but I'm feeling it. And I'm not saying I'll keep my hair like this forever, but this journey is about allowing yourself to enjoy, you know, and try different things. And yes, a lot of us feel guilty when we really live, especially if there are others around us who are kind of seated in their misery, whatever. But this is about you. You are allowed to make yourself happy. You're allowed to take risks. And I just think we can all do it. You know, it's not, I'm not trying to say it's easy. It is not. But for me, there's really no other path other than to say, fuck it. What is truth? What is your truth? And I think a lot of it stems from creation, meaning like starting to create, whether it's drawing, writing, like starting to get a taste of your style and what you're made out of. Seeing what you're really pulled to. I still do. I offered them a while ago, but I do soul song readings for those of you who are very confused about who you are and what your quote unquote taste is, in a sense. I can do soul song readings where I do a series of questions, but then I really feel into your vibration and kind of get a sense of your quote unquote style, but not just like physical style. It's like the whole, like I said, what we're made of. So if you want a soul song reading, you can always reach out. It's kwolf2fs27@gmail.com. And obviously also I offer tarot readings and non-dual Kabbalistic healings. And sometimes I, you know, throw in some cards to non-dual Kabbalistic healings. I try to keep them separate for the most part, but sometimes they blend a little bit. But it's been really fun, especially because I get to meet a lot of the listeners who... Yeah, it's been really cool and wild to connect to people, especially like sometimes I'll connect to someone in another country or on another coast, and to just connect and hear what your story is and what your journey is and what you're going through and the challenges you're facing. It's really nice to connect and yeah, so it's been really nice. And some of you reached out and got a reading 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And that's great. Thank you. You know, and sending you all love. You know, I have given a lot of readings and healings over the years, so I can't remember every single person. It's just, my brain would collapse. But just know that like so many of you have for real touched my heart and have also helped shape this path for me. So it's been cool having this podcast. And it's interesting because there are some days where you're so low or whatever that you're like, oh, I don't even know what to say. And honestly, I'm not low today. It's not that. But there was a feeling of there was a dragging going on. There has been a quality. And I talked a lot with my friend Allison about this, of like time dragging or feeling like you're stuck in glue a little bit, like a tar-ish feeling. And you know, on some of those days, it can be hard to get moving, but I think you just keep going and you go at your own pace. Pretty much every winter. So I have something called Raynaud's. It's a circulatory thing. It might be connected. I was diagnosed with Kawasaki's disease when I was 1.5. They're not sure how I got it, but it might have been the chemicals in rug shampoo, since I was still crawling at around 1-ish. It got into my system. I believe that's how it happened. And I almost died. And I talked about this, I believe, a bit ago. But for real, I was in the hospital for like 3 months and with really high fevers. And they didn't know if I was going to make it. And I do believe it kind of short-circuited my central nervous system. So in the winter, the Raynaud's, I think it's still a symptom of the Kawasaki's. But what happens is, and because I had Lyme's, I guess I still do have Lyme. I don't know if you ever beat it, but it doesn't act up too much. But that combines normally in the winters, and my fingers can get swollen. And right now, only one of my fingers is red and swollen. And I'm pretty stoked about it, actually. So it's like, you know, and my point with this is you have to listen to your body. So if you're feeling stuck in tar or whatever, you want to move through it, but at a pace that's really gentle and honest with where you're at. Most of us end up feeling lazy or guilty if we take the rest that we need. But I believe that because I'm going easier on my body this winter, right now, yes, my finger is irritated, this one, but it's really not that bad. And I think it's because I'm not overdoing it. And I'm really finally listening, because the other years, man, I've had my fingers swell up so bad where I could barely bend them. It was pretty crazy. So yeah, I'm enjoying the positive effects of really slowing down and listening to what I need and saying yes to the things that are really in alignment with who I am and saying no to the things that don't feel right. Now, trust me, sometimes I say no and then all my guilt comes up, like, oh my God, you're an idiot. Why'd you say no to that? I'm doing the best I can. And I think that's what's important, is like, as you try to set better boundaries or have better self-care routines, pay attention to what arises when you set those. So you might say, okay, sorry, no, I can't go to this thing. I kind of want to just stay home and rest or whatever. Notice that after that, if you know, you might have like fear, anxiety, all these things that come up that were in a sense keeping you trapped to doing things you didn't really want to do. So you just watch them come up, and it's like watching little thought tornadoes. You know, it's that Pima Chodron quote where she says, you are the sky, everything else is the weather. So you just watch the weather, you know, you include it, as I learned in my school as well. It doesn't have to be, get out of here, anxiety. You know, it's like, okay, I said no and anxiety came up. That's good information. But I think as we really start to, and we all are doing that, some people are obviously resisting this evolution, but like most of us who are allowing this to happen are raised in vibration or consciousness. It's only bringing more peace. And I love seeing just my interactions with Shane change as I learn to say no. You know, I've always had boundaries with him, but something's shifting in the way say no and the interactions, and he's like becoming a teenager. So it's hard to not take personally when he gives me like the toots, you know, it's so hard for me. I'm like, oh my God, he hates me. He doesn't like me anymore. Like I get, you know, I have to watch all those things come up and just ride those waves better, because, you know, it's taking personally his own thing. But I like doing this work and seeing all my thoughts that arise, it's allowing me to actually ride the wave so a new thing can take place. And Shane's becoming a man, and I just have to accept it. You know, he'll be 13 soon. That's for real teenager shit. Like, I can't believe it. I'm so proud of him. Man, after I saw him sing like an angel at that concert, I swear, I was just like, and obviously I know his voice is like that, but he doesn't sing for me all the time. Like, it's special occasions I get to hear that. And it just, wow, I can't wait. Like, eventually I'm sure he will post something on YouTube or whatever. I can't wait for you guys to hear. He's really talented. I did post like the short solo, so you can check it out on my, it's not up anymore. It was on an Instagram story. What else do I want to say? Let me check my notes. My throat's starting to hurt. This is like, I'm talking a lot. Oh, and I talked a lot yesterday too. Okay, let's see. A veteran, and a lot of you know about this, a veteran raised $16 million on his GoFundMe for the wall, but it didn't reach the $1 billion he wanted. So now it might be possibly getting refunded to everyone. I honestly don't know how to feel about it. Like, for me, it's like, okay, this veteran wanted to raise money. Cool. He did. I mean, I'm fine with that. So if they want to donate $16 million, which still sounds like a lot to me, to the wall, like, obviously I'm not about this wall, but if they want to do like, what do you call it? Like patching up or like some structural fix-ups to what already exists, like whatever, like, but we're not building like a wall, like we're not doing some, like if they want to do some border patrol something, I don't freaking know, but I'm like, all right, use the people who wanted to pay. I don't know, like I said, I'm not about the wall, but clearly there are already some structures in place at border security, so like, I don't know, let them use the $60 million to fix up stuff. But so many people are making good points. They're like, dudes, most illegal immigration stuff takes place first of all, over plane is how most people get here. And then what happens is they're all like on a work visa or a visa expires and they just stay. Like that's, which I'm fine with. Honestly, like I don't have, I'm not going to say more, but like, whatever, you know? So like, for me, it's like, let him repair his wall. Clearly this wall is about something else with Trump. It's probably like mom boundaries that he never got to build. You know what I mean? Like, so let Trump take the 16 million, like, whatevs, Trevs, like this dude, this government shutdown that he's still, I hope it's ending like tomorrow. He's really messing with people's lives. And I don't think he understood the full destruction, which seems to be a theme, of what the shutdown would do. Like, he's costing a lot of families money. It's really, yeah. And there, what happened? Someone went to Joshua Tree and cut down some of their sacred trees because the government employees, like the people who run the parks, are off. They're not getting paid. So this is just a mess. And he just needs to, he needs to start the government back up. He can take his $16 million that this veteran raised, do some fix-ups, whatever. Which, like I said, I'm not, this is trying to find the middle ground compromise. But like, let's just open the government again. Like, Trump needs to end his temper tantrum. Like, what, we all know how I feel about him. So, this is a funny, this is, okay. So this note is, okay. So some people post, I love animal videos. Everyone knows this. I love posting cute animal videos. It's like, it makes my heart happy. Yes. But there's still qualities to certain videos. So like this one, I don't know this woman. It was like a viral one. She posted this like sweet thing of like petting a cat, but it was like sexual. Like, and I don't know if I'm the only one who picked up on it because everyone was like, oh, it's so sweet because it looks sweet, right? Because this cat's loving it. But like the girl's like stroking the cat as if like, like she's like still looking into the camera, like she's like doing it for a dude or something. Do you know what I mean though? Like it was so like uncomfortable. And it's just like, guys, we're allowed to pay attention to that. So like if someone posts something that looks cute, like we'll say like a duck and a baby hedgehog, but then there's like, you know, a dude in the back. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like you can feel when it's not about for real the animals and there's like a sexual weird. I don't want any sexual weird qualities with like pets or animals. Like they're cute little nuggets. Like you don't need to pet a cat like that. Like this is not the time, you know, to get those, to get the likes. Like don't pet a bunny like you're about to fuck it. Okay. It creeps me out. Some people don't even know they're doing it. Like some people just, and look, I rock Jada like a little baby. That's fine. I sing to her like a baby. That's fine. Okay. But I don't freaking stroke her like it's like people. And some people like French kiss their dogs like crazy. Like look, dog kisses do you, but like let's not French kiss animals, people. Like okay, that's just my opinion. There might be some people who you can, please email me angry about that. I have the right to French kiss my dog, please, and sign your name. I will share that email. And I got a real fucked up email like a year or two ago. I couldn't even really talk. Maybe I did talk about it a little bit, but like it still fucks me up. Someone was telling me about animal stuff that they did, that they partaked in, that they felt forced into. It was honestly an email that still sits with me, and like I don't even think I can fully talk about it yet, especially just me, but it was pretty, it was no sex with animals. I can't even believe I have to say this, you know what I mean? And there are cultures, I like I said before, I saw a video on Vice, a Vice documentary of like a whole town in Colombia where it's like totally normal that they fuck donkeys. Like just no, I cannot believe once again I have to say that, you know. And like I said, I try not to be a judgmental person. I really don't. However, I'm judging it a bit, like a lot. Do not fuck animals. Like no, once again, crazy that I even have to say that. Now, if somehow, and I have a joke about this, if somehow you're driving past a farm and your dick always gets hard when you drive past goats, look, you don't need to freak out. Maybe you were a goat in a past life and it's your body's way of reminding you. Okay. You know, but you don't actually go fuck the goat. Okay. Still can't believe I even have to say this, but some people out there try to convince others, including their romantic partners, that this is a normal thing. Normal, let's throw out that word. You know, people have been doing weird, crazy shit for eons, all right? Let's talk about the word ethical. You know, animals cannot stand up for themselves. They're different kinds of creatures. They're lower on the whole, you know, food chain totem pole. You don't fuck them. You just don't. You don't do that. You don't do it. Once again, some of you might be like, I can't believe she's saying this. Well, unfortunately, there are some people who really need to hear that, you know. So that's all I need to say about that. My throat is like going, so I'm going to have to wrap this up. I will pull one card. So hold on. Pulling a tarot. Ten of Swords. So a lot of us are going through things where old thought systems and fears arise. Just watch them. So when you're interacting with someone or when you're by yourself, if a very fear-based thought comes up, hold it. Oh, wow. I'm really scared that if I do this, this could happen. You know, and you'll fill in the blank. But just really seeing these thought patterns that weigh us down and learning to heal them, learning to alchemize them, learning to see them and to know that we are all beings in process. We are caterpillars becoming butterflies over and over. And it's okay to fall. It's okay to be imperfect. So sorry guys, my voice is totally gone. I talked too much. Okay. I've been practicing my singing. That was not it. I'm too self-conscious to sing as of yet publicly, but I'm working on it and I am recording some of these. I'm ready to have some hot collabs with friends of mine, make some music. So, thank you all for listening. Those of you who would like a healing, kwolf27@gmail.com. Instagram, Twitter, @TheKateWolf. The next Miss Wolf's art class will be February 16th. Tickets available on Eventbrite soon. Thank you all so much for listening.